Okay, so hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 15th of July 2009, and if you could just state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Rona Winifred Stainthorpe, I'm 63 and I live in Crowthorne, Berkshire.
And how are you today?
I'm fine, I think.
And how did you initially hear about the project?
It must have been in The Guardian, I think. It must have been a write-up in The Guardian about it. I think that must have been the first time. But then possibly on Radio 4.
And what actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
Well, I just love Anthony Gormley's work. We saw the amazing fields down in the Tate at St Ives. I thought when the men arrived from space in London 2 years ago, all around London was the most magnificent benign invasion. And so when this was announced, I thought it would be a good idea. I mentioned it to my husband and he said, let's put ourselves up for it. So that's it.
And how familiar are you with his work?
Well, I know most of his work, I think, but of course one doesn't, because one doesn't know what one doesn't know. But I have seen a lot of his work and I've read about him. So, I'm not an art critic, but I think his work is very inclusive and very beautiful. So, it's good.
And how do you perceive this project in particular?
Well, it takes me back to the 60s when people used to have happenings and do. He's a bit too young for that, I think, because he's only 55, I think. In the 60s, this sort of thing used to happen quite a lot. There was something called the Scratch Orchestra. I was doing a course when there was somebody who was in the Scratch Orchestra, which meant that she went and sat down and munched sandwiches through a performance. It was probably quite soothed, but was fun when we were very young. So this sort of, it relates to that in a sense, I think.
And how are you planning on spending your hour?
Well, it's 7 o'clock. What does any normal sane person do at 7 o'clock in the morning? They sit down and read The Guardian and do the crossword. But because I have grandchildren and I think it's very important that children should be read to, I'm going to spend, I hope if I've got the courage, the last half reading poems and stories to them, so they will hear it on the web and it'll demonstrate to parents that it's important to read to their children.
And what do your grandchildren mean to you?
What do they mean to me? Oh, well, it's impossible to say. Grandchildren are the most extraordinary gift. You can play with them, you can enjoy them, and you can give them back, which is even better.
And have you got anyone in particular who's here supporting you?
My husband will be arriving hopefully on time, and then I have quite a number of colleagues. I've got a research meeting at 11 o'clock today, so they're arriving early to, I think, stand around the square, and then we're all going for breakfast. At least we'll see whether they turn up. I think I probably would prefer them not to be honest, but if they don't turn up afterwards, if they've not turned up, I might feel sad. So it'll be good if we have a few people.
And do you mind me asking what you do?
I am a professor at Reading University. My area of research is the development of reading in children. I'm a psychologist.
And when did you develop this interest in children?
Teaching? Oh gosh, too long ago. But I used to teach in a school, in an all-boys secondary modern school in London, and some of the boys couldn't read, so I decided to go and do another degree. I became a psychologist, and so I've been researching the development of reading and reading problems for the last 30-odd years. So.
And is this something you're trying to project through this hour on the 10th?
Oh, I don't think it's possible. Well, in a sense, yes, what I've said in a rather convoluted way on the web, the whole idea is to embody the enjoyment of reading. And I think it would be quite nice to, for a lot of people, a lot of the time, to see that people can spend an hour reading and not doing anything else, because reading is something that you can sit down and do in what appears to be a passive way. There's masses going on in the head. And we have an absolute duty to ensure that we have a literate population and that children are taught properly to read with accuracy and enjoyment and understanding.
And can I just ask you to elaborate on the significance of reading within your life?
Within my life? Well, I do it all the time, but then literate adults do, even if it's just sitting on the tube. You know, you read everything. When I was a child, there was we didn't have television, so there were lots and lots of books that you read and read and read and reread. When I first went to university, I really started reading, not my subject, other things. And so I read for my work, I write for my work, I read to my children, I read for enjoyment. I never go anywhere without text. I just have to read texts. I mean, this might be questionable because, you know, I go on a train and I read a book and I don't look out of the window. But it is essential part of me.
And this is a slightly complex question, but what do you think about the kind of transition from literature to the kind of more visual, as in television, the kind of live streaming element of this art project?
Well, one of the problems with the visual and streaming is that it happens in real time, so you can't speed it up, and obviously afterwards you can scroll back and do it again, and then I suppose you can speed it up, but it is a different form of cognitive experience than reading a book, because a book you can read if you have been taught appropriately. You can read in many, many different ways. You can start at the back and go to the front, as it were. You can read quickly. You can reread. You are in control. So that's a big difference. On the other hand, the visual experiences that you might get are imaginary. They're within the head, as opposed to the quality of seeing something, you know, in reality. You couldn't say that one was better than the other. And I'm not sure. I'm not sufficiently able to work with multimedia, so I work in terms of reading. However, I use a lot of visual presentations for giving lectures, for example. And there's a whole new discourse style that's developing because people use PowerPoint projection for giving lectures for all sorts of things. And nobody's worked out the discourse style of these, so nobody knows how to actually present. You know, people don't know about using full stops, but they use capital letters, all sorts of things. It's an interesting developing genre.
And what are your kind of hopes, fears, expectations for your hour slot?
Well, I just hope it doesn't rain, and that I just don't absolutely freeze, because I suppose it wouldn't be too bad if one froze, because you would look like a statue, so that doesn't matter. I just don't want to come away and think I made an utter fool of myself. I hope that the microphone will be able to pick me up, so that people listening, watching on the computer, will be able to hear if I read aloud, if I get that courage to do that. I'm assuming that the voice will not carry around the square, and I couldn't face having all sorts of the electric gubbins to have a projection microphone. So I just hope that I can arrive and leave with dignity. So we'll see.
And can I just ask you, I mean, you don't have to answer this with one particular, but your favourite book?
Oh,
is that too difficult?
Well, I... Well, I suppose my favourite adult book would be Middlemarch. And I'm going to read some of my favourite children's books. So, for example, I've got Green Eggs and Ham, which is just the most glorious children's book. And I've got Set the Quangle Wangle's Hat by Edward Lear. But my probably most favourite book that crosses the age gaps is Alice in Wonderland, but I didn't dare bring my copy because if it rained, it would get ruined. So I'm not going to read Alice in Wonderland today.
Well, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much.